Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
With the inauguration of Boston's first new mayor in a generation set for next month, many people in the city's minority communities are trying to understand what their future in the city will be. Leaders in Boston's Black, Latino, and Asian communities had hoped the city might elect its first mayor of color this fall. That didn't happen, but minority voters provided crucial support for the new mayor-elect, Marty Walsh. Now those activists and elected officials are taking stock. Was the mayoral election a victory, a defeat, or something in between? WBUR's David Scharfenberg takes a look.
September 24th, preliminary election day. A dozen candidates are vying to be the first new mayor of Boston in a generation, and two will make it to the final round. As the returns pour in, it's clear that John Barros, son of Cape Verdean immigrants, a nonprofit executive who's impressed columnists and rivals alike, will not be one of them. Instead, it's two Irish Catholic men, Marty Walsh and John Connolly. Barros, riding to his election night gathering in Dorchester, is subdued. But when he walks through the door, he finds something unexpected. People are chanting and high-fiving. They're celebrating. Barros has made a pretty strong showing for a first-time candidate, finishing sixth. He and the other major candidates of color, third-place finisher Charlotte Golar Ritchie and fifth-place finisher Felix Arroyo, have built something. Something that wasn't good enough this time, but something nonetheless. Barros's mood shifts from saddened to something more complex.
As I walked to the stage, I remember hugging my father, and he said to me, "Did we win or lose?" In a tight embrace, I said to him, "No, actually, we didn't get the votes we wanted, but this was a win." And so he looked at me confused, and I sort of walked away and went to the stage, and I'm sure he was processing, as I was processing, what that meant. But it was clear that it was a moment that we needed to seize and build from.
This defeat with a silver lining came at a crossroads for Black, Latino, and Asian Boston. 40 years after the busing crisis branded the city a place of racial intolerance, Boston has undoubtedly changed. But its power structure, financial, legal, political, remains overwhelmingly white. Joyce Faribault Bowling, who served as an advisor to Black mayoral candidate Charlotte Golar Ritchie, says when it comes to politics, communities of color shoulder much of the blame. Leaders failed to think strategically and get behind a single candidate in the mayor's race. Voters failed to turn out in large numbers. And the new Boston, she says over lunch at a Roxbury diner, failed to take advantage of the city's dramatic shift in race relations.
You'd be taking your life in your hands going over to South Boston in the, you know, 70s and 80s. Now, you know, it's a very different place, and that's good for the city. Very good. What's not good for the city is that the folks who can be in power, who've been denied the power for so long, are not taking advantage of it.
It's not clear that minority candidates will be more successful next time. There are still structural impediments. Chief among them, money. White candidates raise millions more than candidates of color in the mayor's race. City Councilor Felix Arroyo, one of the mayoral candidates who fell short, says it's about social strata.
When your circle of friends aren't people with high-paying jobs and aren't people with what would be called disposable income, raising money becomes very difficult.
There are also splits within communities of color. In the Black community, for instance, there was a generational divide in the mayor's race. Mariama White Hammond, who is 34, was among a cohort of young activists who supported John Barros over old guard pick Charlotte Golar Ritchie, a veteran of departing Mayor Tom Menino's administration.
I think, as is often the case with younger folks, we want more. Like, for me, it wasn't enough to have, like, a Black person who would continue the Menino legacy. I wanted to see a big shift. I wanted to see someone who was gonna shake things up a whole lot more.
Still, White Hammond is fundamentally optimistic about bridging the generational divide in the Black community and about building cross-racial alliances among all the city's communities of color. there's reason for hope. Boston's Black and Latino communities have never engaged in the kind of political feuds that have roiled cities like New York and Chicago, and rainbow coalitions are not a new phenomenon in this city. Black mayoral finalist Mel King put one together 30 years ago in a losing bid. Now that Boston is a majority-minority city, there is a sense that something more potent could be in the offing. Many Black, Latino, and Asian activists came together after the preliminary election under the umbrella of a group called Right to the City Vote, rallying around Marty Walsh in the final election. An activist can make a convincing case that their agenda, if not their first choice for mayor, won. Here's Walsh at a mayoral debate, talking about the divided city of his youth.
It was divided for many reasons, because of busing. It was divided because of lost opportunity. And when you look now today, in some neighborhoods, that divide is still there. As mayor of the city of Boston, I'm committing to you tonight that I am going to work to close that divide.
James Jennings, a professor of urban and environmental planning at Tufts University, says it's no accident that issues of equity came to the fore this year. Sure, there were individual candidates interested in those issues, but there was something bigger going on, a confluence of Black, Latino, and Asian political organization and an historic demographic shift to a majority-minority city.
All of a sudden, issues that in the Black and Latino community, in the Asian community as well, were always important. Poverty, racism, structural inequalities, that becomes more prominent in the political discourse that we have in Boston.
Jennings says the rise of a populist politics may lead to conflict in an increasingly affluent city. That conflict could come to a head, he suggests, at the Boston Redevelopment Authority, which oversees development in the city. Critics say the agency is too cozy with developers, and Mayor-elect Walsh is promising a shakeup with more transparency and power for the neighborhoods. Business is pushing back against the plans, though. And out in the neighborhoods, there's some skepticism among voters about whether a new politics is really on the way. At Brothers Deli and Restaurant, a Mattapan Square institution, the kitchen serves up chicken, mashed potatoes, and corn. Roger Phillips, an unemployed teacher's aide, says he was pleased that so many candidates of color ran for mayor. And he took note when Walsh picked up the endorsements of three minority candidates he beat in the preliminary: John Barrows, Charlotte Golar Ritchie, and Felix Arroyo. But Phillips is not sure what these endorsements will mean in terms of Walsh administration policy.
It said that he was paying good lip service. I'm hoping it says more. Actions speak a lot louder than words, my man. Actions speak a lot louder than words.
The politicians and activists who rallied around Walsh are more optimistic. They like the diversity in his transition team. But they're not taking anything for granted. On a recent Friday, a handful gather at the NAACP's cramped Boston offices in a small indoor shopping mall in Roxbury. They speak about what they want from a Walsh administration, about how they'll hold him to account for promises he's made. Michael Curry, president of the Boston branch of the NAACP, says he wants the new mayor to succeed for a term or two, but there's an impatience in his voice.
Every mayor of this city has been a white man. Since the city was born, it's been a white man. It is time to now see diversity in this city at every level.
So, will a serious Black or Latino candidate challenge Walsh in 4 years? Maybe not that soon. But activists who have been waiting for decades, activists like former state representative Doris Bunty, say change is coming.
I don't know about in 4 years, but I do know, or I do believe, that the next mayor will be a mayor of color.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Scharfenberg.